Today, the world is demanding more of products and packaging. They need to meet consumer demands, be sustainable, and travel through different channels. Simply put, companies that make things need to respond faster than ever to change. So let's go beyond the shelf to understand how industry leaders in food and beverage, beauty, CPG, industrials, and more are driving innovation in their products and packaging. Hello, and welcome to Beyond the Shelf, the product and packaging podcast, where we interview the people behind the amazing products we use every day. I'm Laura Foti, and today I'm thrilled to be speaking with Katie Jones, the CEO of Trustwell. Katie is an accomplished leader in the software industry, specializing in the food sector. With a passion for food safety and transparency in the supply chain, she has been a driving force in educating and advocating for supplier management and traceability across the food industry, something I think we all appreciate as consumers. Katie's educational background includes a bachelor's degree in journalism and mass communication from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She further enhanced her skills with a master's degree in data marketing communications from West Virginia University. Her accomplishments have earned her recognition, including membership in the Chief Marketing Officers Club and the prestigious Triangle Business Journal C-Suite Award in 2017. Her passion for food safety and transparency fuels her dedication to providing innovative solutions that empower companies to achieve their goals and uphold the highest standards in the supply chain. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Laura. Thanks for having me.
I love that we both studied communications and ended up in this industry. Can you talk a little bit briefly about your career journey?
Yeah, I certainly did not think that I would end up in food software, food technology. And here I am, here we are. At the time, I was really interested in becoming a magazine editor. That was my career path. And I'm glad I chose technology. I think, you know, the print industry is, you know, can certainly be struggling. I had the opportunity. I spent about 10, 15 years in various different marketing and communications positions, mostly within nonprofit and university research. And I had the opportunity to pivot into tech and join a food technology startup called Food Logic as their first marketing hire number one. And I ended up over a number of years moving into the role of CEO of Food Logic. And so it's been a great trajectory. I'm really glad I took that pivot and took that risk to join a startup, and that's really paid off.
Yeah, I love that. You know, storytelling is such an essential skill, and I think that's a really unique trait for a lot of chief executives. Is you have to be able to convey the message mm-hmm. and the journey, especially yes. in the industry we're in, where we're asking people to change. And we'll talk yeah. more about that. For many listeners, Trustwell might be an unfamiliar name, but I think the Genesis product is certainly a household name to many of our listeners in the food industry. Can you talk a little bit about the history of the company?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Laura. So as I mentioned, I was CEO of Food Logic for a number of years, and we merged with Escher Research, which is the parent company, the company behind Genesis for many, many years, Genesis R&D Foods. And in the beginning of last year, merged those two companies and rebranded as Trustwell. So Trustwell is the combination of Food Logic, which is supplier management, traceability and recall, and then connecting that with Genesis, as many of your listeners know, to be that nutritional database, nutritional analysis, and helping develop the nutritional labels that are required for their products. So connecting that supplier data. So we've got a lot of really exciting things happen as we think about those two products working together.
Yeah. Speaking of connecting data, we're extremely excited to partner with you and the Trustwell team, specifically on an integration with Genesis. What excites you about this partnership, and when you think about how it aligns to your vision?
Yeah, I think just that connectivity of different systems within the food industry is really exciting, because I think that, like many industries, there's been this disparate approach to technology, and we've got to work together to make sure that all of those data points are connected and really have that single source of the truth when it comes to ingredient data. And I think that's where it's really interesting to see, you know, the product specification, you know, work done with SpecRite, and then connecting that to obviously the nutritional labeling in Genesis and the power of those two really critical business functions coming together.
Yeah, that's what excites us as well. Is it's all about, having this data be seamlessly interconnected. It's what you said. The number of times I hear people say mistakes were made because they're doing manual data entry, duplicate data entry. And when you think about food safety, that has a huge impact, right? Recalling a product, not labeling an allergen correctly, not understanding if we versioned a formula or if that impacted the packaging of your product. Yes. I think it would blow the minds of most consumers as to how manual this stuff is today. Why do you think the food industry has been slower to adopt software and new technology?
I think overall it is hard. I think that especially in certain functions, like I see in food safety, there's just this constant firefighting. So to take a step back and to have to, reapproach or, take a different approach in terms of how you may be approaching a process or just the time that it takes to train and manage the change within the business. It can be a daunting task. I think that though we've seen many examples of companies that took that leap a number of years ago and are now really seeing the benefit of that. And so I think, the advice that I give is certainly centered on, you just have to start and it can feel very overwhelming and daunting, but, making sure that you have, great implementation and great partners, obviously, with your software as well is very important.
You make it such a great point because over the years, as I've gotten to know our customers and users, and, I always ask them like, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want to learn? And the number one thing is always change management. And, as someone who used to be a technology consulting, I'm like, oh yeah, that's like the obvious answer. But I think you really unpacked a few key points there. One is that for so many professionals in the food industry, and we have a lot of listeners, especially in food packaging or product development, to your point of like, you're constantly trying to meet a deadline, a new product rollout or there's always something happening that is your whole attention is focused on. So it's really difficult without an executive sponsor to step back and say, hey, maybe we should slow down a little bit. Maybe we need to slow down to speed up. And, how do you see companies successfully doing that? Is it having kind of that champion executive who's seeing the bigger picture? Is it having, a user who really understands the problem? How do you see companies doing this successfully?
Yeah, Laura, I think you bring up a really excellent point. Having strong leadership will help with buy-in throughout the organization. So having a really strong executive sponsor for the initiative, I think is absolutely critical because I do think as a whole, as you get busy with your day-to-day and, yes, you've got that manual process, but it, perhaps it's worked for a while and it may work until it doesn't, right? And I think that that's really the key is that we've seen companies that, come to us certainly, and there was always this catalyst type event, right, that they've experienced and what's driving that need for technology. So having that high level buy-in, I think can really help with providing a strategic direction for, for the company. And then I think having an end in sight and then obviously working the plan alongside, with milestones. And it's just, basic project management. But I do think it's really important to understand the vision of where you're going. And I think that will help keep people motivated along the way because it can get hard. Change is hard, as we've discussed. And I think there certainly will be times where you may feel a little frustrated, especially as you're in the process of change. And so making sure you're keeping that vision in the line of sight is important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite role models is Jan Tharp. She former CEO of Bumblebee Foods. She's now CEO of a wine and spirits company. And she was our first episode. And I remember she told me, Laura, when you're a CEO, the most important thing is to keep young people around you. Because they'll tell you the truth. And like, there's things that like, you're going to learn. And when I think about companies who are in the middle of this transformation, finding the digital natives, right, who are so used to this technology in their personal lives, and like harnessing them to kind of drive the change, I've seen that be really effective. I've also seen the flip side of this where the digital natives come in and try to force this and they don't do a good job of managing up to the executive level. So I think what you said around, I always say like your executive leader is your best friend in this. Like they're your partner in crime. They're going to ask you, what's the business case? What's the impact on the before and after? And so, for those listening, if you're wanting to make a change, the more you can help your leader understand the business impact, the before and after, the risk mitigation. It doesn't always have to be about driving top line growth, right? For food safety, a lot of it is around brand reputation. It's around product safety. And so just managing up, so important, telling the story, getting to that person who's going to have the bigger vision is huge. You know, what are some of the big drivers in the industry that are impacting food right now that you're seeing?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, globally, there are more and more regulations, I think, that are, you know, clearly those are always key drivers in understanding how, you know, how your technology investment is aligned to that. So, you know, here in the US with FSMA 204, just an enhanced traceability, there's, you know, Owen's Law in the UK, there's a variety of different regulations that we're seeing. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that those are going to be going away anytime soon. And then I think clearly there a lot of what's driving that is obviously the consumer demand for not only just more information, but I think just authentic information. I think there is generally a distaste for what I've referred to as like the faux farm to fork, right? Which is we, you know, slap a picture of a farmer on the packaging and call it a day. And I think companies that are really doing it and doing it well are going to be rewarded, you know, in the share of basket, because companies will be able to say, this is actually what we're doing. And they have, you know, whether it's really tight relationships with their suppliers or being able to provide that authentic level product data. I think that's really where the industry is going for sure.
Yeah, we agree. We actually, when we were at Summit, and thank you for speaking on our panel there, Spec Summit, we released our survey results around consumer sentiment around sustainability. And I mean, the data is clear that consumers are making decisions based off of sustainability, and they're not really trusting what companies are saying. And so they are looking for that next level of data. I also anticipate that a lot of the retailers are going to start pushing this harder on food companies too, because retailers are at the forefront of voice of customer and they want to, you know, include a variety of that appeals to their target market. And so I think we're seeing this in beauty, right? Where Sephora and Ulta are saying it's not enough for you to say it's green. It has to meet our standards. And so we're seeing kind of on the beauty side, which I think is typically a little ahead, we're seeing the need for companies to validate their data. I think you'll start to see that on the food end with retailers as well. And more importantly, again, it's really driven by the end consumer. The other thing that I think is so interesting, Katie, you know, sustainability is obviously a top of mind. Regulatory, you talked about FSMA, Food Safety Modernization Act. You know, this legislation was drafted years ago, but it's kind of the check is coming due, right? Like now, like the timeline is running out. And that I think we're seeing a lot of people still really behind on that.
Agreed.
Which, you know, is a little nerve-wracking as a consumer. But really, there's just a lot of opportunity ahead still. And I think people who are viewing this as a positive and viewing change as like an innovation to their business model versus something they have to do will be positive. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was cost pressures. You know, inflation's been high. For a lot of food and beverage CPG companies, you know, you're making something that is a few dollars. So their margin is kind of being squeezed. So we're seeing an uptick in reformulations of people saying, you know, and I think this is where consumers don't realize too, like that Kraft macaroni and cheese, it's probably changed 300 times since you were 3 years old, right? From a variety of different reasons. And so, you know, I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts on frequency of reformulations, impact on food safety, and obviously on the labeling side, this has a huge impact. We'll be right back. Speaking of innovation, is your team spending more time chasing data than on new product and packaging development? SpecRite can help. With our specification data management platform, you can streamline project management, quickly build out BOMs, and forecast both the profitability and sustainability of your products. Go to specrite.com to learn more. Now back to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, that process, right, whether it's driven by cost or, you know, we're seeing more legislation around banned ingredients. And so what is that going to drive in terms of the increase in reformulations that would be needed, and really making sure that there's tight controls over that process and a tight connection to then what actually is then presented in the label, right? And I think that that's where we want to make sure that there's not really any gap, because that's where I think that mistakes happen. And unfortunately, you know, to your point, you know, perhaps without a tight control on maybe the specs from the suppliers, right? And understanding that, okay, before this was a facility that was, you know, I'll speak to something that's very personal to me, tree nut free, and then you change suppliers, you reformulate, and it's no longer. My son has a life-threatening tree nut allergy. And so to understand and to buy a product with that on the package, I trust that that company is going to deliver on that. But with a quick reformulation and a change of a supplier, that can change and then expose risk, you know, to my son. So, you know, I do think it's really making sure that you have a tight control on that. And there's so much pressure, to your point, to do that quicker and quicker and quicker. And yeah, you have to have technology underpinning that to make sure that that's done well.
Yeah, absolutely. The banned ingredient piece is huge. I mean, we're seeing that across every industry. PFAS is in the news, and there's stuff that I've never heard of and that we don't realize is in our food or supply chain. And, you know, that's where I love at SpecRite, when so many people don't have this searchability today. They don't have that ability to type in where are we using this ingredient? What products does it impact? And so, to your point, with technology and with our partnership, people could do that within three clicks.
Right.
You know, you do a search of the ingredient, you look at the current formula it's attached to, you clone it, you send it to Genesis, you get it. Like, this stuff doesn't have to be hard. Right. You know, like, historically, these things have been really challenging, right? And required hours and weeks and tiger teams. And, you know, the beauty of technology is these things can become really seamless, and that can drive really amazing outcomes. And I really appreciate how personal that story is for you, because that is a huge deal, right? And it impacts us as consumers. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. And I think I just want to add too that I've not met any food professional doesn't take that extremely to heart, right? And I don't think that we see these mistakes, you know, happening on purpose, right? I think it really is. It's just human error and the amount of manual work that's done. And that's when it happens, right? So I think that everyone taking that very seriously. And so I just want to make sure that that was stated as well.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I feel like I've learned so much from people in the food industry. Like, the level of excellence and integrity is extremely high. And it's something that inspires me. There's so many things, so many exciting things happening in food and technology. You know, what are the trends? Where do you see the future of this going?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think we're at this interesting inflection point where, as we're starting to see digitization of the supply chain across the board. So we've got all of this data across the food supply chain. Now what? What do we do with it? And I think this is where you start to see, obviously, more AI and machine learning layering in. And we've got some exciting things in terms of how we're layering on AI in terms of the data analytics, whether it's traceability data or quality incident data, as we're capturing all of that to understand, do we have a trend here? Is there something that's bubbling up in the supply chain that we can get ahead of, right, prior to having to issue a recall, right? And so we've got all of these data points. I think that there's just such a tremendous amount of opportunity for us to layer on an additional level of insight into that to make more proactive decisions as a food industry rather than a more reactive approach to it. So I think that's really exciting when I think about what we could do, you know, just from a technology perspective.
I totally agree. There's so many use cases for food safety, new product innovation and development. The other thing, though, I just want to tie back to what you said earlier. You can't do any of this if you don't have your data digitized, right? And so, you know, use this as the rallying cry in your organization to say, if your boss is asking you how we can use AI, just remind them your stuff's still in spreadsheets and file folders, right? And I believe, like you do, that this is where the industry is going.
Yes.
I think the other thing that's important to reiterate, because I've been hearing it left and right, is just this belief that, like, oh, AI is going to replace people. And I really don't believe, like, when we look at food, you know, manufacturing, food safety, product development, I don't see it like replacing people. I see people who understand how to use AI accelerating through.
Yeah.
It's just going to become another thing to help us do our jobs better. I firmly believe that, you know, especially in food safety, like, someone's still going to go audit that facility. you know, someone's still going to reformulate that product. You might use the AI to look at a few different versions of that formula, right? But, and so I just think it's so important to embrace, like, there's no better time to fully go all in on technology, because we are at such an interesting point in the evolution of tech, where by embracing it, you're not only going to be complying with regulations, but really leapfrogging ahead of your competitors. And I think we're going to see that more and more, where, you know, especially for food, all these up and there, why are there still up and comer brands in food, right? It's because they're disruptive, they're innovative, they're using technology differently. So it's certainly an exciting space.
Yeah, it always is.
So we really appreciate your time, and we know how busy you are, Katie. So is there anything else you want to, you know, tell listeners before we go to our rapid fire session?
No, I just think, I do think, just to echo your sentiment, it's a very exciting time for technology. And I do think that making that shift and leaning into it, it's almost past the time to do that. And so how you're thinking about your food tech stack and the different pieces that work together, and really to that point, making sure that you're tying it back to key business objectives, I think that's a really critical point to make as well. So yeah, it's very exciting time to be in food tech for sure.
That's great advice. So we'll go to our rapid fire questions. My first is one of my favorites. What is your favorite product right now?
So I am really into the plant-based protein shakes actually right now. So I'm trying to personally increase my protein, do a little bit more, less running, a little bit more weightlifting. And so I'm a huge fan of, actually really like the Ripple plant-based protein shakes. So those have been on the rotation for sure a lot lately.
Awesome. I love that. I too am on that regimen. So I can relate to that. Have you tried Orgain?
I haven't. I do use their protein powder.
Protein powder, yeah. Too. Oh, so this is a shake.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. I'll have to check this out.
No, no, no. No, is yours is a shake? It's like a ready to drink.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, the Ripple is ready to drink, which obviously is like, I'm just grabbing it. Right. But I do like a good smoothie too. And I'll use the Orgain protein powder for the smoothies. And
I'll have to try your ready to drink one, because there's times when I don't have my blender on me, which is most of the time.
Yes.
What is your favorite packaging trend right now?
So, I think it's just seeing more of the 2D, you know, QR codes backed by real data. So the scan of that on the package that's backed by, you know, real-time data, that I just think that's the trend. And there's only so much space, obviously, that you have on the package. And so I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of initiatives out there that, you know, they're going to more static information, I think, kind of leaning more towards some of that, you know, just more robust, authentic information is something that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, we agree with you. Okay, so now is our last segment, Kill, Keep, Change. We're going to give you a list of three random products.
Oh, okay.
Pick one, kill, aka discontinue, keep one, and change. And in the spirit of us talking about food, I picked three food topics for you. Okay. The first one, I did not create these. The first one is bologna.
Okay.
The second is jalapeno poppers, which I think I just had those at my Super Bowl party. Yes. And the third is cupcakes with equal amounts frosting and cake. That's super specific. So you have bologna, jalapeno poppers, and cupcakes with equal amounts of frosting and cake. Kill, keep, change.
Okay. So I'm killing the bologna, not my jam. I'm going to keep jalapeno poppers. They're perfect. Why would you change them? I love spicy food. So I would change the cupcake. I am definitely going, depends on what kind of frosting it is. So I'm going to be very specific about this. If it is a buttercream frosting, then I'm adding more frosting. So I'm changing the ratio, since you had that specifically in that it's even. I'm going to add, but it's got to be that kind of like buttercream or like a cream cheese frosting. So very specific change to that. So
I love that. More frosting is always better.
Absolutely.
Especially the buttercream.
Over and like, yeah, eat it. Yes, absolutely. Got to get a good ratio.
Awesome. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us. How can people follow you?
Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn, Katie Jones at Trustwell. And I would say that's probably my most utilized form of social media. And then, you know, obviously email me, kjones@trustwell.com, if you want to get in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, Katie. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, Laura. Thank you so much.
Bye. Beyond the Shelf is presented by SpecRite, the first cloud-based platform for specification management. Say goodbye to spreadsheets, share drives, and legacy systems, and digitize your specs in a secure single source of truth. With SpecRite, you can easily share and collaborate on specs with other departments and across your entire supply chain network. Taking a spec-first approach enables you to accelerate product and packaging development, go to bid faster, report on sustainability, and ultimately spend less time chasing data and more time making amazing things. To learn more, visit specrite.com. That's SPECRIGHT.com.